You are on Metal Messiah Radio. You are listening IPEX Witching Hour. You better. We have a special show tonight with two special guests from Dillinger Escape Plan. I personally interviewed them at the show nearby my city. So stick around to hear the chat and their accomplishments past and present. The first part of the interview coming up, so you don't want to miss this motherfucking shit. Stick it out. Today we are going to chatting with guitarist and the founders of Dillinger Escape Plan, and none other than Ben Weinman and the vocalist, Greg Puciato.
Puciato.
I knew I was going to murder the name.
That's
okay,
kind of like
Puciato.
I know. I almost said Puciato.
Pussy Frappuccino.
I know, but it's a good laugh for our listeners. So, okay, so Puciato.
That's it, yeah.
It's Italian.
It's not.
Pussy Maestro is
it's
what you
not. What is it?
It's Russian, actually.
Shit. You do look Russian, but you don't sound Russian. Okay. All right, my first question is going to be, obviously, both of you. So you can just change hands, hand it over to the next person. How's your new tour been going so far? Ben?
It's been amazing. Deftones, we really respect the evolution that Deftones have had and the fact that they've kind of, like, started a genre and have evolved and changed and not let anybody, they've kind of been a band that have constantly evolved, and like people just can't seem to catch up to them. And regardless of those changes, they still manage to be a really big band, and they still manage to like appeal to a large fan base. So, to me, anyone who can not compromise their artistic integrity and maintain that level of popularity, that's like insane. Because for us, we've never been a very marketable band, or like we've never been a band that's been on radio or anything like that.
Not a mainstream.
You know, we've been like kind of existing under the radar of the underground, in the underground. So it's extra fascinating to us when we find those bands that have had some level of mainstream success and have that artistic integrity. It's like, wow, that's amazing that bands can do that, you know? So it's we've been really honored to be a part of it, and their fans have been pretty receptive to us.
Right on.
Too.
And what do you think, Greg? You having fun at the tour?
Yeah, this is probably one of my favorite U.S. tours we've ever done. I definitely think as far as a support tour, it's the best support tour we've ever done. It's a really good mix of people that are already into us, and the people that have never seen us before are very, very receptive, which isn't always the case when you do support tours, and usually has never been the case. So, yeah, it's good. It's a good time.
Good. And how did you guys hook up with the Deftones?
We've known those guys for about 5 or 6 years or so, just through playing various festivals together and various just running into one another, different things, you know. I guess 2 years ago or so, there was a benefit for their old bass player, Chi, who is in a coma right now in L.A., and I went and sang some songs with them, and we really started kicking the ball around about touring together, and then we saw one another. Ben and I saw Chino and Abe at the Revolver Awards, the Golden God Awards, you know, in L.A., and then we really kicked the ball even harder, and it was kind of more or less like, look, we both want to do this. The only reason we haven't is because our records have come out on opposite cycles in the past.
Right.
You know, when we're ending, they're getting started, things like that. And this time, we were both getting started at the same time. It made a lot of sense to do. It was very, very easy. You know.
And how was the bass player doing? You said he's in coma.
Yeah, he's not.
Is he paralyzed?
I don't really know the details exactly of what his condition is, but I mean it was a car accident. But yeah, he's living in New Jersey and he's undergoing alternative treatment.
Now you guys are not stranger to the tragedies. You can share, right, Ben?
Yeah. No, we've also had a bass player with a pretty severe injury, and so we can really identify and sympathize with the idea that, you know, somebody who's been in the band from day one, who's one of your best friends, going through this kind of thing, and the difficulty of moving on and continuing to hold the torch of what you guys started together without forgetting how important that person is and still supporting them. It's definitely difficult. So we definitely can identify, and we're very supportive of the.
And
of
Ben, you're the founder of the band, and you've been with them thick and thin all these years. Did it come a time that was you wanted to give up and start a different project? You know, because so many members change.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I think the reason I've been in this band this long, and the reason why, you know, I think that the fact is that the type of band that we are is a result of being extremely stubborn and extremely driven and extremely committed to the cause.
And
you
believe in your music.
Exactly. So for us, it's always been a type of thing of where, like, if you don't feel it anymore and you're, you know, if you can't do it for whatever reason, mentally, physically, whatever, if you're not on board, you know, it makes sense for someone new to come in who does have that passion. And I've just been kind of that rock that's been able to maintain that level of consistency even with some of those changes as people become acclimated and become a more part of
what
we do. I've been really honored to and excited by the fact that we've been able to make changes and continue to grow as a band, and I'm just proud of the fact that, you know, I've been able to keep that level of consistency because I do feel like we're still coming from kind of the same place.
You guys almost got like resurrected.
Yeah.
I mean, last several years.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because we've never been a band that everyone says, like, what was it? Some people think of us as, like, this really big band.
Right.
You know, guys are a really big band. Everybody knows you. But we've never been a band that's ever had one thing happen to us that's risen us to, like, some level of success. We haven't had some radio hit or, you know, something specific that's done anything, or one tour that's made us, like, we've really slowly, steadily climbed very slowly. We're not.
It's like a roller coaster.
It's like, yeah, we just kind of, and I think that's why we've been able to survive this long and maintain a career,
and
because
you're true diehard fans.
Yeah, you know,
it kept you also.
Exactly, we're very hard on ourselves.
Your flame is not, you know.
No, we've had to have some level of struggle and fight from day one, and I think that's what keeps us going and able to maintain a certain level of, you know, of success in a music climate that's kind of dwindling. You know, for us, we've always had to deal with, you know, adversity. We've always had to deal with difficult things. We've always had to budget ourselves. We've always had to make decisions, you know, tough decisions. And so for us, nothing's changed, and I think we're doing very well in this climate. And, you know, that's the one thing I'm proud of from day one to now, with all the changes.
That's really good to know, and I'm glad you never quit, because we certainly love Dillinger Escape, the album, and hopefully the next new album going to be even more brutal, much more. I mean, I love some of the melodic parts, and this is the question to Greg. I know when you released your second full-length Miss Machine, and you had some controversy for adding clean singing vocals and becoming more experimental. Did you feel stressed out? Did you stress out thinking, oh my God, maybe I am going to lose some of our fans, you know, doing this experiment, and, you know, or maybe it's going to be a good change for us?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a good thing because it was us being true to ourselves. You know, I think the stress would have been worse if we'd have been trying to replicate some, what now seems to be a very, like, you know, back then it seemed like Calculated Infinity was this big shadow that we had to either live under or move out from under. And I think it would have been more stressful trying to replicate that success than trying to just achieve new success with something. You know, like I think what we were writing was honest to ourselves, and it would have caused us more personal stress to know that we didn't release the record that we truly wanted to release because we were afraid of doing that. And once we did put out Miss Machine, there was a period where not a lot of people, but there was a decent amount of people jumped ship because they didn't want to hear us do new things, or they weren't ready for it yet, or for whatever reason. And there was a slight dip in our fan base around that time. But then that leaves you with the core of people who are truly there for, you know, the long haul. And then once we started building onto that, then we, you know, surpassed the level that we were.
And
before.
You gain much and more new fans. Right. The ones
and all the ones that are there now know that we're going to do whatever the fuck we want, whenever.
And they'll
we
embrace
want.
Whatever you do.
Right, right, and they know that about us. So, and I think that's a much more admirable quality to have is to be honest to yourself artistically.
So you didn't really doubt yourself and say, you know what, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should stick to my old guns.
Well, no, because, I mean, when Ben would give me a song that was melodic or a part that was melodic, it would be more absurd for me to write a non-melodic vocal. That would be almost showing everybody that I'm a pussy creatively or that I'm incapable technically of writing to this part. You know, I feel like you should just try to allow yourself to be open enough and be in tune enough with your voice that you can write whatever is appropriate for the part. You know, right. Whatever comes to your mind first, that's what's supposed to be there.
Exactly.
If he sends me a part and I hear singing, but I think to myself, no, I should scream because people want to hear me scream, that's already, you've corrupted the process, you know, so you...
It's
you,
overdone and...
Yeah, you know. Have to be honest with yourself. It's up for other people to judge. It's not up for you to judge.
No.
You know, you...
Exactly.
It's up, you know, all you owe yourself and your audience is to do what is honest and pure and in the moment creatively, because the second you start to think about it, you've corrupted it. You know, and you need to release it for other people to judge.
And you need to cater yourselves first.
Right, exactly.
You need to like, you need to be satisfied what you're doing before you think what the fans, because fans are wishy-washy sometimes.
Right.
Excuse me.
And that's why a lot of bands' first records are their best, because they didn't have any fans.
They did
whatever they wanted, you know.
And they weren't corrupted.
Right.
They weren't pursued, or they weren't influenced.
Right.
By... flavor of the month,
exactly.
MTV, whatever the band, whatever that gets popular, and suddenly maybe we should do the, you know, copy this band.
Right, right.
So as long as you don't copy anyone, I mean, it's obvious there is never going to be an original band. We're all going to...
Everyone is influenced by somebody.
Influenced by somebody, definitely. But as long as you stick to your roots.
People always talk about being corrupted by the music industry. Like, you're going to be corrupted by a big record label, but people don't think about the fact that it's just as easily and just as dangerous to be corrupted by critics and your fans. So, to us, you know, we never were going to be part of some major label world. We were never going to be a part of that. The thing that we feared was being affected by this new age of media where you can hear what everybody has to say. You can read message boards where everyone has a complaint, where everyone says, I wish you did it more like this, or I wish you did it like that. That'll just destroy you and just block you creatively completely.
Right.
So for us, it's like about not being corrupted by what we think people want to hear and just continue to make great music that we love so that we don't have to think of this as some kind of desk job.
So with that said, if Sony or Atlantic Records came up to you mm-hmm. with $500,000 contract and asking you to create an album and change your direction 360 yeah. degree around, almost like another Linkin Park.
Right.
Would you consider?
No, I mean, it's happened pretty
it
much.
It has happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we first put out Calculating Infinity, we were one of the few bands. We were a new band. There wasn't really bands that extreme that were selling like 100,000 records, you know. And I, at the time, our record label hadn't really achieved that kind of sales success, you know,
right.
and arguably we were one of the most extreme bands on the label. So, of course, right away during that time in the industry, bigger labels started kind of sniffing around because it was very hard for a major label to sell that many records on that level. Like, kind of like a major label could sell a million records, but it was very hard for a major label to sell 100,000 records. They didn't know how to do it.
That's, you know, a good point.
They had no idea how to do that. No. To them, it was like there was no such thing as building. You either, you know, created a giant artist or they were swept under the rug because they didn't work. So, you know, there was definitely labels coming to us trying to get us to jump on board, and they were trying to throw producers at us. And there were bands like System of a Down and stuff like that that were having great mainstream success who were a little weirder and a little more eclectic than the typical bands. Right, so, you know, there was definitely like, you know, could Dillinger be a next System of the Down, or could Dillinger be, you know, and to us, that was never an option.
All right, bitches and cunts, I'm back. Tonight, we are talking about an extreme punk metal band, Dillinger Escape Plan. You just heard the interview part one. All right, we're going to be continuing talking to them throughout the show. playing some of their best songs. This is a great band. It's full of colorful music. Anything you like, they'll play it for you.
Hey, Mr. Wicked, I come to tell you that tonight I heard that you were playing a Dillinger Escape Plan, and you know.
What do you know about Dillinger Escape
Plan? I had an escape plan from Cuba, and it worked out because I came here to your show. Because if I didn't have a plan to go there, I would never be here. So I love that they have a plan for themselves. And tonight, since I heard you play some covers, I think this would be a perfect opportunity for me to bring out the old, you know, the karaoke machine. You know, maybe Dillinger Escape Plan. I don't have it on karaoke. I brought you some lechon and some pavochon and some arroz con pollos, and everybody love it. But I want to tell you, I don't have Dillinger Escape Plan on the karaoke, so we're going to have to play some other cover songs because they love a cover. But my machine can't handle Dillinger Escape Plan. My break is too crazy.
It's better than me breaking your fucking head.
So what do we got coming up?
All right, well, we have more interview coming up. And then their new album, the songs.
Oh, I love it. It's so good.
And, you know, I went to their show a week ago and hung out with them in their dressing room. They put me on their guest
list. Oh, you see them in their little pantalones?
Yeah.
Did you get to see them in their little
pinguita? Well, no, they were in shorts.
They were taking showers.
All right, don't get fucking weirdo and pervert.
Okay.
Pervert
I'm going to go mow the lawn.
Okay, perverts and lowlifes. Dillinger interview, part two, dos. Can you count? Uno, dos, tres, cinco! So this is for Greg. Even though it's an old, broken record, and every band's complained, the free downloading.
Right.
And I keep coming back to that. You know, a lot of bands saying, we're going to give away our free. How is this phenomenon and disease spread out without everybody getting caught? What is ruining the music business, and the bands are quitting because they can no longer make albums. The labels don't want to pay the bands to do a quality album, because now it's the point is, if nobody's buying the CDs, why am I putting so much effort for the production,
right,
engineering? You know, I'm just going to fucking put some few songs on iTunes,
right,
and pretend that I did my job. So what is your intake, your thoughts?
I mean,
on
this
that?
Is a really, really long, I mean, I could
I know.
Give a 2-hour long talk,
exactly.
You know, dissertation on this. But I mean, here's the thing, is that you have to embrace the world as it is, not just how you think it should be. And the reality right now is that music is free. You know, music has been free. It's completely free. It doesn't matter whether you think it should be. It is free. You can go get it for free. And until you can't get it for free, you can't compete for free. It's a simple rule of economics that if something is for free, you will eventually, the people that are paying for it are still the people that somehow don't have access to it for free, or somehow have some type of a conscience. But in the end, if something doesn't happen, everyone will just get music for free. So to me, the challenge isn't to try to guilt people into saying, hey, you should pay for this, you know, because really, if all of a sudden tomorrow gasoline was free at one gas station and cost money at that gas station, you would start to not care about the ramifications of whether you're stealing it, or you would eventually
start getting it
for free.
The gas stations are getting robbed. People are pumping and running, driving away without paying.
But in the music industry, there is no consequence for
There's
it right
no
now.
Consequence.
So until
exactly.
there is a consequence, until there is some sort of, you know, intellectual property law that is being enforced, and a lot of those torrent sites get shut down, and they get illegal downloading under control, I think that people just have to understand that the climate we live in right now is free, and to change their attitude from trying to sell CDs, which is to me an antiquated, all it is a transportation device for digital media, which you can get for free anyway, to trying to drive traffic. You know, I really think that's the point now, is to try to give people an incentive to, instead of getting it for free from a torrent site, to get it for free from you. because you're going to be able to give them a higher quality version of it for free anyway. And then, you know, I mean, what's so bad about that? You've gotten someone to listen to your music. You know, back in the day, you would stand outside and you would hand out CDs to people for free, hoping that they would just listen to them, when chances are they just throw them in the garbage anyway. So now you're giving people the ability en masse to get online, get all your stuff for free, and then you give them another alternative, like, okay, we also have vinyls, we do have limited digipacks, we've got posters, we've got t-shirts, we've got all these other things that you can monetize. But, you know, the reality is if you give someone a 320, you know, KBS MP3, 99% of people, that's going to be more than adequate for their listening tastes. But you need to get them to your house, not stealing it from a torrent site, until there is some type of governmental measure in place that shuts torrent sites
there's
down.
There's no cure.
Yeah, you can't compete with them. Even if it's a dollar a song, that's still $1 more than free. You know, so you just have to play by the
rules.
Even
if they won't buy your whole full CD.
Mean, the thing is that, you know, it's two-sided too, because now, I mean, the problem was, there was also a problem back in the day when it wasn't free, is that you had to pay for every piece of shit that was out there. I mean, not only, I mean, sure, real artists don't get paid for their work now, and it's a shame in some ways, you know, it sucks. But how many shitty artists and shitty record labels made shit tons of money off crap before? Now, you know, the person didn't even have the opportunity to try it out for free and see if they liked it or not. They were paying these people because they were told, here's a record, here's one
but
stupid
you're
single.
Punished for.
Go get it, right? So, you know, it's working itself out in some ways, you know. But I kind of look at it like this, you know. A similar thing happened with software, too, where, you know, people were getting software for free, and they're still getting software for free and all this stuff, right? But, you know, a lot of the companies that ended up really figuring out how to do it was they decided to intentionally give it away for free. And then what they did is they made people pay for updates. So, you know, so if a virus program all of a sudden was free, everyone took that one as opposed to the one they had to pay for. But then because they were used to it, because they were used to the way it worked, because they were used to the quality, they were used to the fact that it helped, it worked, and it was good, and it worked well, they don't want to go find another one. They want to stay with what's comfortable and what they trust, and then they have the opportunity to buy updates to this software. That's how I look at the band.
Okay. That's
you know
what
I mean?
That's a good point.
What?
You know, we're not Jennifer Lopez, who sells a bunch of CDs but can't actually, has never once in her life ever sang a real concert. You know, like, we actually love hitting the road and grinding it out, and that's where we make our living, you know. And you can't download for free a concert ticket. You know, you can't bootleg a t-shirt. You can't do those types of things. So I feel like as music becomes, you know, the actual song itself isn't maybe, you know, monetizable like it used to be, the things that come from it are, you know, there's more people getting into our band maybe that would not have gotten into our band if it wasn't for all these new technologies. You know, the same thing, you know, you say the internet has destroyed revenue of CDs. It has. It has destroyed, unquestionably. But at the same time, all these other things like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all these things have drastically changed.
Change everything.
We can make a Facebook update. It goes out to 110,000 people. 20 years ago, we would have literally had a mailing list of 110,000 people and sent an actual piece of mail to each one of them every time we even want to say, hey, what's up, you know. So
before it, you had to actually go to clubs and fly it up.
And that costs money.
You know,
so
that,
you know,
costs money.
Things that in every direction.
And
you know,
energy. And
gas prices are the real issue, you know, for
exactly.
Touring bands. I tell you what, gas prices hurt our pocket more than CD downloads do. 100%.
That's true.
Touring is 4 times more expensive now than it was 10 years ago, and ticket prices are not 4 times more expensive.
Let's move on to another question. Do you guys enjoy supporting for bigger bands, or would you rather be the headliners?
I think, you know, there's different rewards. I mean, on this tour opening for the Deftones, you have the kids that know us, then you have a pocket of kids who know both, and then there's a whole pocket of kids or fans that never heard us before. So we're gaining in that respect, because you can only preach the choir so long. You can only keep playing to your own fans so long. A band that's been around as long as us have people who are fans who now have 3 kids and have to get up at 6 a.m. to drive a truck, you know?
That's correct.
And
that's
they can't go to a concert on Wednesday night. So these kind of things afford us the opportunity to get new fans, and we still feel like we're an impressive band, even to a young kid who's seeing all the new stuff out there. I still feel like that we are pushing ourselves hard and doing something interesting enough where I think that there's a lot of people out there that still should would might be interested and have not seen something quite like this before. So that's a great opportunity. However, obviously, playing in a room full of our fans with that energy is pretty exciting. So I think that, you know, this is it's really important to do both. And that's the simplest
also,
answer,
think,
you know what I mean?
I think it's awesome that playing maybe 2,000-3,000 people versus 500 people if you were the headliner. So there's like, you know, good and bad, but mainly it's good. Your latest album, Option Paralysis, been out for over a year now.
Right.
What's the overall reaction?
From the band, from us, or from...
From the fan point of view, the world, how did they react to your last album?
I feel like this is our best received record since Miss Machine, I even though there was only one record in between them. For some reason, this record seems to me to have a really good energy around it. I think that we excelled in everything that we wanted to do on the album, whereas in the past I thought that maybe we missed the mark a little bit or reached, you know, what we were trying to accomplish was just out of our reach. I really feel like we kind of nailed everything we wanted to do on this record. I think fans embraced it immediately. You know, from the second we were playing Farewell Mona Lisa live, it felt just as good in the set list as songs that we had been playing for 4 or 5 years. It didn't, you know, there was no lag in timing, like between the record coming out and people instantly being into the new songs. They felt just as comfortable, like I said, as songs that were...
No, I think it's going to be a classic, that tune. Definitely, it's not a flavor of the month.
But you know, it feels good for us, and yeah, it's felt overwhelmingly positive to me.
Are you guys all happy with the production? All the songs came mixed?
I think it's the happiest we've ever been.
Who produced it?
Steve Evitz produced it. Ben helps a lot on the production end.
Co-production.
And we've used Steve for everything, you know, and he's grown, you know, throughout the years. Just but he also knows what we are,
did
and
you
he's
do
been
it in
with
the
us
East
at the beginning. No,
with
we did
the
it. He lives on the West Coast now, so we did it in California.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we're as happy as we could have been.
Are you guys going to be doing more tour after?
After this, yeah,
are you gonna start a new album?
We go to Europe in August for a couple weeks and do some metal festivals and things like that, and then we come back and we are working on an October, kind of mid-October to mid-December, headlining tour, and that will for the most part wrap up the record cycle. We're gonna do Australia, Japan, try to find time to go to like Mexico.
Are you guys
South
gonna
America.
Headline or?
Yeah.
Headlining.
So we're
awesome.
You know, but we're looking at hopefully wrapping everything up by like March or so of 2012.
Okay, now Ben, here's another question. The tour, U.S. versus Europe, which one you like better? Why?
All right. If I have to do a long tour, I prefer the U.S. But a short tour, I like Europe better.
And why?
I like the diversity and culture in Europe. I like having the different kinds of fans. I mean, it's a much smaller world than it used to be, obviously, with YouTube and the internet. Fans kind of look and act the same all over the world a little more than they used to when we first started going to Europe. But I definitely like the diversity and... I don't know. I'm engaged to a Danish chick, so you know the chicks are pretty good over there. What?
In Europe.
The catering. Europe.
Catering.
You're right. That's the. You know what? That it is. There.
I know. The Domino's pizza versus
a roast pig roast.
Yeah.
They have a full buffet of coffees and delights and desserts and stuff.
Right?
It is a delight. They know how to feed.
So well.
They know how to eat over there. That's for damn sure.
They bring a massager. Massage, the weeds, you know what I mean?
Happy endings, I mean, you know.
You guys do any...
happy endings?
Yeah.
The massages? Endings. You know, it's a part of the culture. You know, when in Rome, as they say.
let's see. What do you credit for Dillinger Escape Plan's success over the years?
Stunning, stunning good looks.
Well,
no, I mean,
that's number one.
No, I think it's because we've never strayed from the path of just of doing whatever we want whenever we want. I really feel like we do whatever we want, but we always do it at full intensity, and I think that people appreciate that they know that they don't know what to expect out of us, but whatever we do, we're going to commit to it 100%. And I don't know.
Not your changing of your sound.
No, I mean, I think that the one thing people always expect from us is something unexpected to some degree. But I think there's a fairly consistent over. When you look at our catalog, it makes sense.
That's true.
So, at the end of the day, we're going to always be a band that some people really hate or really love. And to me, that means we're doing something right, because I don't want to be that middle-of-the-road bar band that just like, is in the back. That's just like background music. I have no interest in that, in anything I do in my life. So, comfortable and complacent and easy, and that's just unpredictable is not what we will ever be. So as long as people are interested in that, we'll be around,
Hello, guys, friends, and family. This is Pedro Morales, courtesy of Metal Messiah Radio, and I'm going to be doing a public service announcement for the Dillinger Escape Plans. As you're hearing tonight, I pick Miss Wicked has been doing a great interview since she's been playing a song from the band. Now, if you really care about this band, they are touring America right now to a Junio 15. That is a June 15. So you want to check them out, go to MySpace, Facebook. This week they're playing in Texas. They're going to go to Arizona, Los Angeles. And, guys, then in August you got to go see them overseas in Europe. So I just want to tell you guys, make sure you stay tuned and you check out Dillinger Escape Plans. And the guys are great. Ben and Greg, such a two nice guys. They even say like a Greg is like a Vin Diesel of metal because, he work out. He look like a Schwarzenegger, he can beat you up. He's got a big a muscle. I just hope he don't get the maid pregnant. I don't think he's a good guy. But thanks to seeing the guys. Back to a scheduled programming, and I guess Miss Week coming up. I just do a little hijacking. Okay, guys. Again, go see Dillinger Escape Plan on tour for the next 2 weeks with the Deftones, and they do a couple of headlining show too. Gracias. Okay, guys, we're going to do a song by the Faith No More. It's called an epic. I love this song. Okay, guys. Yeah, come on, guys. We love it. Okay, my favorite karaoke. Do you feel it? You can hear it. You can hear it today. It don't matter anyway. You can never understand because it happened too fast. And I think this thing is like a walking on glass. It's so cool. Hip all right. These words are so moving so fast. I can't even. You can touch it. You smell it. Taste it. It's so sweet. But knock you off your feet. You want it all, guys. But you can't have it. Okay? I want a lot of things. I want a women, the peoples. I love you guys. But it's crying. I'm bleeding. It's lying on the floor. You lay down on it and you do it. Some more. I don't know if you want to share it. You can dare it. And then you bear it and you tear it. I don't know what this song is about, but you can have it. It's like a rap, but it's not. It's like a rapper song. It's in your face. It's in your face. But you can grab it. Miss Wicked does a good rapper song. Maybe she could be like a Tupac. It's alive, afraid, alive, a scene, it matches tragic, it loses a wing. It's a dark, it's moist, a bitter pain, it's sad, happy, shame. But it's so dark and moist, it's like a chocolate chip cookies, but you can't have it. Okay, guys, you gotta wait. It's in your face, but you can't grab it. Miss Wing, you gotta read the words. What is it? I don't know what is it. But what is it? But what is it? But what is it? What's this song about? I'm looking at it says instrumental 40 seconds and I sing like a little at a pigeon and it's singing to me, it's talking. I think I took an LSD because I am seeing a pigeon. And I love the way the pigeon fly wing. When a pigeon leaves, it leave a nest and it leave like a little egg. And like Faith No More left an egg and it opened and a lot of bands came out of the 90s that mix a rap and a rock and roll and metal. And I think that Faith No More inspired many bands like a Korn and a Deftones with a little bit of funk and stuff. So I think that they hash an egg with the pigeon. And the pigeon, okay, wait. What is it? You gotta go slower. It's it. You gotta go slower. What is it?
It's it.
What is it?
It's it.
You want it all, but you can't even sing this song. You sing horrible, and if you low, it's like a metronome. Okay?
It's in your face, but you can't grab it.
See, Miss Wicked? Okay, wait, calm down. It's it. What is it?
It's it!
What is it?
It's it!
I gotta give you a vocal lesson because you gotta learn how to do a song. And Mark Patton became famous because he learned how to sing this song and he wrote it because what is it? It's it. He's so intelligent that he understands what is it.
It
is it, but what is it?
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 What is this song about, guys? It is the eternal question of my mind. So,
hey, this is Greg.
And this is Ben.
And we are from the Dillinger Escape Plan. You are listening to IPEX Witching Hour on Metal Messiah Radio.
Motherfucker, cunt, shit, nipple, sucker. Kelly Clarkson, ball sacker, bitch.
All right, Metal Messiah Radio, dysfunctional family and fans. You just heard the interview part two with Ben and Greg by Dillinger Escape Plan. I really had a great time fucking interview with these people because they're just very down earth. They understand the struggling to be a musician and really a true musicians, and they are most of it a big fan of metal music and before they are musicians. So I really had a good time with them, and watching them really enjoyed it. And then I watched Deftones. You know, they were opening up for Deftones, and I had a good time watching them as well. You also heard Pedro's version of Epic by Faith No More.
Hey, Miss Wicked, I think I did a very good version of the song. I think maybe if Faith No More is looking for a new singer, and you know, Mike Pano don't want to continue, they can use me because I have a very beautiful voice.
Yeah, I think you can.
I have a voice of an angel.
You can clean up their fucking bus.
I love to clean.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Pedro. Oh, by the way, you guys happen to want to, you know, go see this fucking shit crappy movie? It's called Hangover Part 2. Don't do it. I fucking hated it. I felt so stupid watching a stupid movie for 2 hours. Wasted my fucking valuable time. I mean, what a fucking shitty movie. It's like taking the same fucking characters, actors, and same fucking story, basically, it's continuing. And going to another fucking spot, place, and same shit happening all over again. How could a moron become a moron after moron? I hated the movie. And so don't see it and save your time, your money. Better yet, download it. Download the first one and watch it. That one is not too bad. But this one is absolutely unnecessary and shitty movie. And if you guys want me to do more movie reviews, I'll probably start doing that as well. Well, this is the end of the show, and Dillinger Escape Plan is still fucking touring. You know how long? It's been fucking 2.5 months. I believe they have 2 more weeks to go. They're still touring, so check their fucking tour dates. It might be coming nearby you guys with the Deftones, and go to Shit Place, Fuckface, and type their name, it will come up. You can't miss it. You know, if you can't find a fucking Wicked Witch, there's no way you can't find the Dillinger Escape Plan. And we're going to meet again next week, same time, same spot, with different show. Now you stay fucking sit and metal.